Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. We are really excited to bring you another interview with one of the Hallmark talented actresses, and we have Charlotte Sullivan here, and you're going to be in your first Hallmark movie coming up, which is exciting. And Charlotte, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for taking the time to talk to me.
Yeah, so what we like to do on our podcast is we like to give you a chance to introduce yourself and tell us what inspired you to become an actress.
Oh, that's so tough. I never know how to answer that question, but I will try my best. So my name is Charlotte, and I started at least daydreaming or becoming like morbidly, obsessed with movies as a kid, like lots of children, but that my reaction to movies was just a little bit different. Like I would get so insanely jealous of movies that had already been made and that I like wanted to be in them. And my mom's like, well, that movie was done in 1952, so you couldn't have even been in that movie.
That's
So
so funny.
there was just like a really strange reaction. Like I don't know, it just was different. And I was pretty obsessed with movies, just like any other kid, but there was just something weird. Like I'd watch a movie, but I would really memorize everything, and then just literally, like, I'm not even joking, like I would projectile like vomit if I couldn't be in like Labyrinth or something. And my mom's like, yeah, well, too late because you weren't born. So yeah, so that's a really very strange answer, but it came from like jealousy
So
is really what it
you're
was.
gonna petition extra hard to get into the when they do that Labyrinth remake that they're always talking about.
I don't know. I feel I'm such a purist, so I'm like, I like my whole thing is why remake something so wonderful? Like, why don't you remake like a flop and make it better? So for me, I just, oh
Yeah,
God,
no, I
I don't
agree
know.
with
I
you
couldn't,
there.
it's just,
Like the Disney
yeah.
live action remakes, it's just like why bother remaking Beauty and the Beast? It's perfect as it is. Why are
It's
you
really, yeah, it's
remaking?
really, but anyway, I know like the remake, some things are dated and you need to, obviously like reintroduce them to a new generation, but that movie is like, you can't, like, oh my God, it's so singular. It's so, it's to the left. It's so unique.
Well,
And
that's
anyway,
good.
but no, so yeah, anyway, but I don't think I could do
So
that.
you grew up watching a lot of movies.
Yeah, I mean, that's like such a typical kind of answer, but it was just, yeah, this really, like, I remember even watching the movie E.T., and I was watching it with a friend, and then they were watching me watch the movie, and then they made fun of me because I was literally like mouthing, like just mouthing the answer, like
Yeah,
the
the words.
responses, and kind of emoting. And I remember, I just remember getting caught, like getting, it was like something I would do when I was alone, but I guess I let it slip. So yeah, I don't
Well,
know.
I would
Very
do,
strange. Okay.
I would get really into film too, and particularly into kind of talking about it and analyzing it. And that was something my family did. My brother was really into film, so was my sister. And we're all kind of into different types of film. I always loved musicals. That was and still do to this day. And animation and still do to
You
this
sing?
day. I mean, I'm not
Are
a
you a
professional,
singer?
but I love singing. I get great joy
Okay.
from it.
I always love pretending. Yeah, I love pretending that I can sing. That would be so like dope if I could like pump it out. I don't know how
Well, I
those
mean,
guys,
I am a pretty decent
it's like,
singer.
it's
I'm a terrible
okay.
dancer. I'm a terrible dancer, and so that's what hurts me in musicals. I could never get cast in musicals because I'm such a bad dancer, but I love to sing.
But like in terms of dancing, like are you, when you say you're bad, is it just in, like you just need time to practice? Like I think that if you, like I don't think if I see someone dance and then I have to repeat the steps that they're doing, I wouldn't be able to do it. But if you gave me time, like I think you would
A lot
erase
of time.
like a little bit of
I would need a
extra
lot
time
of
and
time.
you could pop yourself into one of those movies.
I would need a
A
lot of
lot of
time.
years of preparation. Okay.
Because
You're trying to master it. I see.
well,
Okay.
I'm
I see
slightly
what's
dis
happening.
I'm slightly dyslexic, and so it's hard for me to learn those kind of patterns and stuff like that. But yeah, no, it's tough. I don't know. Are you into musicals? Do you like musicals?
Well, this is so funny. I remember going to go see the new Les Mis, and you're gonna make fun of me so hardcore because I hadn't seen the original, and I like in terms of seeing it on stage, like I hadn't seen it. And I thought when I went, I was like, oh, they're singing throughout the whole movie. I was like, oh, every scene. I was like, I didn't realize. Like, I guess the musicals that I'd been used to was like they break out in song, but this was like, oh my God, like this is every scene. I was like, so yeah, there's yeah, it's not totally my bag, but I don't know. I think that like obviously those like Christmas movies, those like the White Christmas and those things, like they're so nostalgic. I definitely get swept away in those types of films, but
Yeah,
a little bit bored. But
they can be a little bit much sometimes,
well, you know,
but
sometimes, but I don't want to rain on your parade.
not at all, not at all.
I can't. I don't want to crush your dreams.
No, not at all. So do you remember your first role that you ever got?
Well, this wasn't really a role. It was, I remember we answered an ad in the paper, and it was for Liza Minnelli was doing this music video, and it was all to like for AIDS research. And I remember going, we went, it was like an open call for, like so many people went, and they were going to call us, like they were just going to call us like a couple days later, and they didn't call, and I was like really crushed. And then the day that I thought it was they were not calling, they did call, and they said they wanted me and my brother, and my brother is so not this type of, like he does not want to do this. And I was so mad with him. I was like, we're gonna miss school for this, like please, like. And yeah, so I remember dragging him, and it was the first time I'd been on set, and they had transformed the set. Like from the morning we shot a sequence, and then I remember they painted the entire studio the following day. And I remember like the buzz of kind of like, it was just really exciting to be, you know, I was just like in the background. I didn't have anything like significant or anything, but it definitely planted that like very creative bug, because the people that were around, like Gloria Stefan had translated all of the dialogue, like the lyrics for the music video. And Liza like sat on the floor with us, and I don't know, it was just like a really unique like experience. And for a first experience especially, like it was like such a bonkers world. And then even the really beautiful makeup artist, I don't know if you're familiar with him, is like Kevin O'Coin, who was like, he's just like most iconic guy. He was there doing the makeup, but you know, I was so little, so I didn't know like everybody. I didn't know who they were. But it was more just me being like really into like the set life, because I thought it was so magical.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. I mean, at the feet of Liza, I mean, come
Yeah.
on. What a way to start.
Yeah, and she's so lovely. Like she was, oh my gosh, like she sat on the ground. Like she wasn't like she worked hard on this thing, and she was also really appreciative that everybody had given their time. Like I do remember her, she did not act like a, it's certainly not in my, like I didn't witness anything. She was so special and such a like a sweetheart to everybody. And I just remember her being literally like on the ground with all of us studying these lyrics, and just like a really down to earth, beautiful, very funny. I remember her laugh, like, so yeah. And I think it was like a it was right before Christmas we shot it, and so it was like it just had like the buzz of magic. It just was a really special experience.
That's awesome. So you've done a number of, I think, what they call in the business procedurals with Rookie Blue and Chicago Fire and shows
Yes.
like that. So what is it like being on that kind of a show?
Well, those shows in particular, I had the most fun of my life. Like it really was the most insanely beautiful, pure experience, especially doing Rookie. I was surrounded with literally people that I will be friends with till I die. It was magic. Like I got to act every day, play cops and robbers, and there was just so much laughing. And the lead, Missy, she's just like, she's so much fun and so sweet and made it such a special experience. I can't tell you. And then also Chicago Fire was also a really special one because that cast and crew are pretty incredible too. Like sometimes when you go on to a new show that's already been well established, like they were, or I think they had already been like 5 or 6 seasons in. And you know, I thought, oh God, they're going to have their little cliques and it's going to be really difficult for me to it's always best for me to come in with low expectations because then I'm always really pleasantly surprised. But it was it was so joyful. Like it was a really beautiful set and I had my baby, I think like not that long before, and they were just really accommodating and the actors were lovely. Like I had this one actor I didn't even work with him, but he like showed up on my last day just for support. Like just, they're really supportive and lovely. It was a good group of people.
That's great. Do they have like actual sort of firefighters and policemen that are there to kind of, that they have as consultants for those kinds of shows?
I believe they do. I mean, I didn't have to, like, I wasn't playing a firefighter, so I certainly didn't have to you know, learn or study any of those things, but they definitely were on hand. I mean, I think it's also just by proxy. I think a lot of even paramedics, they're actual paramedics, they get used on the show. And so they then become, just because they know the vernacular and they know what to do. So oftentimes actors will end up asking, is this the right thing? Would I be saying this? Would I be putting my hand here? Would I, you know, so that's kind of like, you're grateful to have them on set so you don't look really incompetent, which I am, so it's nice to shoot.
Yeah. Now, was it always your goal to get onto television as opposed to like stage or other types of acting?
Oh my God, I feel like stage, I have such stage fright for even television that I don't know. I literally, it's like diarrhea, vomiting. Like I couldn't do it. Like the thought of going on a stage is just terrifying. So yeah, I mean, I'd rather die, I think.
That's funny.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to think like I already have so much stage fright just for something that requires multiple takes. So if something was no, well,
how do you deal with that if you have that stage fright? How do you overcome that?
You know, it's so weird. I think I've gone through moments like when I was really young where I was very fearful of working and developed a stutter at the beginning of my acting career and then quit acting because I really hated it and didn't like that, this experience. And then you're told that after 10,000 hours, you'll get really good at something. Well, that did not happen for me. My anxiety and my stage fright is probably worse than it was before. So my poor husband, he has to deal with me before. And anytime I accept a job, I'm a mess. Like it's like a self-sabotage thing. I don't know. I really wish I could.
No, I can relate to that. Feeling more. Because I will get anxiety about a big project or a big thing coming up. I used to do these open water swims. I haven't done one for a little bit, but I used to work so hard. And I felt like sometimes it was almost worse the harder I worked because it was just like more and more it was up first. More as opposed to me just like, oh, this sounds fun, let's do it. As opposed to when I'm really trying to do well, that it was almost worse. I was just like, it was almost better when I just was like, yeah, let's try this. This sounds fun. And
isn't it brutal? And then the feeling of like wanting to throw up, like it's not, that is real. It's a real feeling. And I don't know how you feel, like Well, but if you're swimming, like, you will die. Like, you literally are going to die. Like,
yeah. Well, and that's the thing is that, like, I know that I can do it. I put in the work, but for some reason, there's just that, like, anxiety of that week of, it's just like, oh, awful. And then once I do it, it's incredible and it feels so good. I finished 13 of them.
My thing, and I don't know if this is like, this is, I need to get out of this, because I find that when I'm really relaxed and I go into something feeling like it's going to be such a great experience, I am always let down. So now I'm like, no, I wish that it's going to be or think it's going to be a bad experience, and then I'll be pleasantly surprised.
Well, hopefully the podcast, so hopefully this interview is maybe you went into it with bad expectations, so then you'll come out feeling great.
I was so nervous. Okay. Like, I was so nervous. I don't know what to say. I always feel like I'm going to say the wrong thing. Even if I had practiced this, I think I still would be.
You're doing great. Doing.
I mean, I guess, like, you're so sweet. Maybe you can help me look cool and you can edit it and make me look
better. I will. Promise. No, you're doing really well. So is it fun after doing all these sort of intense shows that you do? Is it fun breaking it and doing like a light rom-com?
I will say, okay, was particular with this film that I just did for Hallmark. I think especially with this year, like, I needed something light. Like, and I'm not just saying this, like, it was such a joyful experience. And I was like, oh my gosh, if they could all be like this, like, it didn't feel like work. And so I think there's obviously times, like, I think comedy is a really tough thing to do. So it's not the subject matter itself. I think it's just like the tonality of something when you feel, I don't know, when you just realize like, oh, this is to make people happy. Like, because we're doing this, it's making me happy. Like, it was a really cool experience. So I would it's really has nothing to do, like, in terms of like what I want to, like, the next thing I do or what I've done in the past. Like, it's never really totally about the subject matter. It's mostly, I mean, it should be, but mostly I'm like, I want to work with good people. I want to be surrounded by kind people. I want to have fun at work. Like, that's my wish. Like, that's really my wish. And then the collaborative aspect of it is the thing that I get the most joy out of. But in terms of the light comedy, I think I needed it right now.
Like, I don't blame you. I
mean, more than I've ever needed it.
Yeah, I feel like I need to watch these movies, let alone, you know, cover them on the podcast. So I get it, because it's just been so crazy. It's so hard that I think we need these light, fluffy, fun romantic comedies. We really do. Gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and I can't tell you, like, everybody on our set hadn't, like, most of them hadn't worked until until this film. And so they'd gone months without, they're like, being around people. I cannot tell you the joy of this movie. Seeing humans, and I can't tell you how much I laughed on this film. Like, it was, I just was like elated, like, while we were doing it.
Oh my gosh.
Hopefully that translates.
I haven't seen it yet, so
I don't know, but it was like, just,
that's great. I well, love that.
Remember, low expectations. I don't know.
No, they say the secret to happiness in life is low expectations. So.
Yes. Well, that's what I'm doing. that is how I'm doing it.
Yeah. So you were in a rom-com called The 12 Pups of Christmas. And I have to ask you about it, because it was kind of bonkers, I think. Mm-hmm. It started out with her getting dumped by her fiance, mm-hmm. who's cheating on her with her best friend. And I'm like, what is that?
I know. And then also my character like quickly forgives her friend. Like I was like, this is crazy. Like, well, it is bonkers. That's the right word.
Yeah. And then her friend is kind of stalking her, trying to get back in her good graces. And it was just a weird little movie. And I just, what was that like to make?
Yeah, I was scared you were going to ask this question. This is what I remember from making the film, is that I was very sick while we made this film.
Oh,
and
no.
I had the worst case of pink eye. Like pink eye throughout the whole film, and they had to digitally correct it in post-production. But I don't know what to tell you. It was I think you had the right word. It was very bonkers.
yeah, definitely.
So bonkers. Yes.
Yeah.
I agree
with
you.
But lots of puppies, so that's fun.
Well, the truth is that we actually did not have a lot of puppies. I think they only had, I think, 5.
Oh,
so
really?
They had to make it look like we had more. So, yeah, I don't, yeah. Oh, but
sneaky,
yes, puppies.
Sneaky.
There were puppies.
That's funny. That's really funny. Wow, it was definitely, yeah, that's interesting. When you said Two for the Win was your first movie coming back after COVID, was this your first shoot post with the COVID restrictions that you were in, or were you doing a show?
No, I did something beforehand, but this was the first time like I'd been on location somewhere, and it was the protocols were wild, like very different.
Yeah.
The weirdest thing I will say, at the end of filming, you know, I mostly, you know, you're really, it's like such a close, in terms of like how fast you shoot, it's really quick, and you're with these people for 3 weeks, and it's an intense amount of 3 weeks. And I realized I didn't know what these people looked like because everyone's wearing a mask. So I was like, if I saw you walking down the street, even though like I just spent 3 weeks with you, I don't think I'd recognize you. Like, I had seen this one girl, she had lowered her mask, and I was like, that is so not what I was picturing under your mask. Like, so it was that was weird. And then the protocols for physical contact in the film, like, so my character and Trevor's character, you know, it's romantic. So of course we're going to be close. But the COVID restrictions were wild. Like, they had to douse our faces with alcohol, and then we had to gargle with Listerine for 2 minutes in between every moment of contact. So, our faces were burning. So, I was like, I'm pretty sure that Listerine does not kill COVID, but okay, like I'll do it anyway. And you know, we're getting tested like twice a week, and so that, you know, you definitely feel like you're, I felt safe. I felt very safe because everyone was getting tested every few days. And also we weren't going anywhere. You know what I mean? We were all staying in the same spot. And so it was really even if we wanted to go anywhere, we couldn't. So we were just it just felt like a safe thing to do, but it was also wildly bizarre for sure.
So did you have to quarantine in Vancouver?
No, we shot this film in Ottawa, and I had already quarantined prior to this. So Trevor had to quarantine, but I did not. And yeah, I recently actually just had to quarantine. So I'm like so done with quarantining. I'm like, I was like, I can't do it. It makes me so crazy. But yes, Trevor had to, but I didn't have to for this one.
Well, that's good. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the movie?
So this is based on a book, called Sleigh Bells in the Snow. We changed the name, and it's really a story about second chances. So for instance, my character Kayla Green, you know, she had a shot at becoming a really very pronounced professional ski coach 15 years ago, but sort of let that moment pass. And her best friend went on to basically achieve greatness. And he kind of comes back after an injury back into his small town, you know, sort of with his tail between his legs, and wants another shot at success. And so does my character. So they get sort of pushed together, and she trains him, and you know, and then they sort of like kind of re-fall in love with each other. And it, you know, it's, I, the script was really sweet. And I'll have to say Trevor Donovan is just a dream. Like, he's just a sweetheart. He's game for anything. Mm-hmm. He made my job so easy, and I couldn't ask for, like, I literally won the lottery. He was wonderful. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm excited about it. I think it sounds like a lot of fun. And you have Andrea Canning and Nina Wyman, two of our favorites, doing the script. Yay. And the director has comedy experience with Schitt's Creek and other things. So I'm hoping that it'll be a little bit funny, bring some humor into it.
I mean, I have never laughed so hard, but I haven't seen it yet, but I don't know, maybe they had to edit around me, but I there was a lot of laughter. So I hope they kept some things. I mean, Trevor was so game for anything. I mean, he really didn't care if he looked like a fool. He would just do it. And he was just hysterical. Like, I just loved watching him. It was joy.
That's so good. Now, do you ski in your real life?
No. I didn't tell you this. No, so they asked me, they're like, you've skied? And I was like, yeah, like, I have skied. I just haven't skied since 1997, but yes, I have skied. And Trevor is like, in real life, is legitimately incredible at skiing. So mostly they focused on Trevor, and then they would just, you know, cut to me. And I had a stunt. No, I cannot ski. But it was a lot of fun. But no.
Where did they film this? This, you said Ottawa, but is it at a resort or?
Yeah, it was a place called Pakenham, and it was a lovely like ski community. And we were so nervous because the first couple weeks there was no snow. And we were praying to the snow fairies, and they came, they arrived, and we finally had snow. And it was like, it was so incredible. Like, the first leg of the film was really mild weather. And then when we needed the snow, the gods listened. And it was just like all these like things were falling into place. So it was just like crazy. Like they were thinking that they needed to spray the mountain, and then they were like, well, actually it's too mild because you need to be at a certain temperature to spray the mountain. So everyone was really fearful, and then all of a sudden it just came, the gods that be up there in the clouds made it happen.
They decided to be nice. That was very nice of them.
It was very kind of them. I don't know what would have happened if we didn't have any snow.
That's very good.
It would have been a very, very different film. Yeah. It would have been very different.
Well, especially this year, it's so weird. I'm here in Utah and no snow. And my friends in Texas, it's snowing at their house in Texas today. I'm like, what is happening with the world? It's all gone crazy.
You know what? I've been to Texas before and it was snowing at that time as well, and I thought, what is happening? Like, so that's weird. And also Utah, I've been to Utah several times. Oh my gosh, it's like it's so breathtaking. Yeah. Like, it's kind of, it's, are you for real? Like, this is a real place?
Yeah.
It was so, like, you think almost just like, are you shitting me? Like,
I know, I feel very fortunate.
Beautiful place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's,
so you were
really
living
good
in a fantasy. you obviously did something well with your life, so congratulations.
Thank you. You're
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, P people, influences, and experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Well, I'm really excited for the movie. I think it sounds fun. And so we have some silly questions. Not that we haven't already been very silly, but more silly for you.
Okay.
So you ready? Okay. Mm-hmm. First question.
Okay.
First question. Go. Best ice cream flavor.
Can I pick two?
Sure.
Pick two.
We'll allow it.
Mint chocolate chip and peanut butter chocolate. Ben and Jerry, it's like so good. Mm-hmm. It's so good. Those are my two.
Yeah, that's those good choices. All right, what's your favorite color?
Blue, but I am so allergic to blue makeup and blue dye that it's ironic, but it's my favorite color.
Yeah, you mean even in clothes and stuff, you can't have blue?
Oh my gosh, I'll have it, but I have to like wash it repeatedly or else I get like blisters. Like,
what?
Oh my gosh, even in makeup, like I found out the hard way. Oh my God, it's the weirdest, it's the most bizarre allergy. Like I remember even on Chicago Fire, this is how I found out I was allergic to blue. My eyeballs like blew up because they had like a blue eyeliner. I mean, I'm not joking. Like I looked like, like I looked like the elephant.
I mean, that's
lady.
Not good if you're in a show called Rookie Blue and Blue Bloods.
Yeah, yep. But I like the color. The color is good.
Yeah.
But it doesn't like
me. Funny. I've heard of people being allergic to red. I've never heard people being allergic to blue.
So bizarre. So that's it's funny. I can't even. It took me 14 months to figure out what it was. Like I was like, what is wrong with me? I thought I was fine. And it turns out it was my eyeliner.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's funny. Okay. Mm. Well, what music are you into?
Right now, I have never been more obsessed with Billie Eilish. Like I can't, me and my daughter, like I can't handle, like her talent is ridiculous. Like when I first heard her, I stopped breathing. I was like, I can't handle this. Like I just can't, it's so good. And I was so jealous. Like I was like, I just wish that I had like a pinky of her talent. Like I can't, she's extraordinary.
Cool. Yeah. All right. Well, back when we used to be able to go outside, what was your go-to date night food?
Well, any night that you're having a date is pretty amazing. I'm a mom, so that doesn't happen frequently. So I would say like my favorite word is dinner. Like that's like, so I'll eat anything.
Yeah.
So I'm just happy to be in my husband's company and be out.
Oh yeah. Well, especially now that we're all isolated all the time, because then we ask what's your go-to date night activity, and I think we're all agree that it's just getting outside is the go-to date night activity these days.
Yes
But
like moving your body and those pre-COVID days.
Pre-COVID, what was your favorite activity?
Like activity. I mean, I'm such a, I just want to be with my kid. Like that's really, that's, I mean, anything we just did a round of like wrestling. So that was pretty fun. Like, anything with her. We also dance, like she and I dance together and we do improv, like, and I just like anything with her.
That's great. Okay. Which do you prefer, dogs or cats?
Oh my gosh, I don't want to choose because I love all animals, but I have had dogs for most of my life. So I would say I also have a dog. So if my dog heard me choose a cat, he'd be so upset. Yes. But my daughter's also asking for a hairless cat. So I'm like, I don't know. It's lizards and snakes and cobras.
Again, you know who has a hairless cat? It's Jessie Schramm. Yeah, I don't know if you know her. She's an actress. She has a hairless cat.
Did you have information about this cat? Like, did she tell you how she found it?
I don't know how she found it, but I've seen it when I interviewed her. I've seen the cat. But yeah, she has a hairless cat because she has really like bad allergies. So you should try to contact her. Yeah. How did you get your cat?
Well, Mike, my daughter was like, we can still get a cat, Mom. The hairless cat, the Sphinx. I was like, oh God, there's a loophole. Like, I was like, no. I was like, yeah, I feel like I'm going to have to talk to Jesse because I need to find a breeder. So, yes.
I think you should. Okay, good. That's what we're doing at the Hallmarkies podcast. We're cat matchmakers here.
Amazing.
Yes.
Put her in touch with me. Okay.
Yeah. Her people with your people. All right.
Amazing. So
which do you prefer, beaches or mountains?
I live in the mountains, but it's close to a beach, so I kind of have the best of both worlds. But I do. Uh-huh. There's something about the mountains that's pretty uh-huh. Special.
Cool. Good. Would you rather be in a fancy dress or sweats?
I mean, I gravitate towards, like, I love suits. I love wearing a suit. Like, those are uh-huh. like, if I'm gonna go out, my go-to is a suit.
Oh, nice.
But in terms of real life. Like, I feel like I have a double life as an actress because I, in real life, I don't, I'm pretty schlubby. So whenever I have to like try to put myself together, it's always like a really big anxiety inducing thing. Cause I just don't, I just always gravitate to a suit.
Nice. That's good. That's very good. Okay. What is your favorite holiday to celebrate?
Christmas. And I'm so depressed. It's over. It's done. And I'm just like so in such a state of mourning. I still have my tree up and I have to take it down tomorrow. Christmas is my favorite.
I know. I took mine down this week. It was sad. Very, very sad.
Oh, it's so sad. It's like tree funerals. Like you have, you see all these trees lined up on this. It's the saddest thing. I can't really hate it.
Good thing we have Winterfest movies because we need them post Christmas. It would be too sad.
Right.
very good. Well,
prolong it in some way.
What is your favorite romantic movie?
I mean, we talked about this film. We've talked about this film before, but it's so romantic, and it was like the first like. Oh my God. I mean, I really was totally into this film. It was Labyrinth. Like for me, that was pure romance. Oh my gosh. Like it was, yeah, I would say that was it.
All right.
For me. So
that's good. Mm-hmm. That's good. All right. Good. Okay. You passed the test. You answered all the questions.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Thank you.
Well, we are very excited for the new movie. It's going to be a lot of fun. You were a delight to talk with. Thank you so much for coming on. And do you have social media that you want to share? Or?
Oh my God, I'm an old lady. I told you, I don't have anything. I have, you can email me if you want to email. So that's it. Yeah, I don't have anything.
Well, that's good. That's probably how you managed to stay sane through all of this. But thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. And we hope that everything goes well with the movie and we'll look forward to watching it. And we'll have to have you back on a second time we'll keep an eye on your projects and we'd love to have you back.
I would love to.
It was great. Let us know if you're listening, if you have any questions or comments about the things we talked about, that would be great. And you can find me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. And if you are, don't forget to follow the podcast at Hallmarkies Pod, Hallmarkies Podcast, all of our social media. And if you are listening on iTunes, please leave your ratings and reviews. We really appreciate that. And if you are listening on YouTube, please give this video a thumbs up, subscribe to the channel. We appreciate that so much. We have our patron group and merch store. So more of that in the description if you want to learn more. And thank you so much, Charlotte. This was a blast. I had a great time talking with you. And let's do it again soon. Bye, everyone.